You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 497 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Sunday evening into Monday morning. I am coming to you live from an undisclosed location up here in Detroit. I was on the scene at Little Caesars Arena on Sunday afternoon for what became a 98-95 win for the Atlanta Hawks. A pretty surprising performance in some respects, as the Hawks were 9.5-point underdogs in this spot on the road. I will say, before we get going here, Detroit is not playing well and did not play well in this game at all. They lost 8 of 10 before this, and now have lost 9 of 11. So that's worth keeping in mind during this game, I will say. But at the same time, Atlanta came out and played well, especially for the first half of this contest, and were able to hold on for what became their third consecutive win. So a pretty impressive showing from the Hawks in a lot of ways. Interesting to be there on site. A little bit of a lighter media atmosphere in Detroit, considering not a whole lot of stuff going on around the Hawks and the holiday weekend, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a good time to be there and enjoyed my trip to Detroit. So here we are talking about the game itself, as we always do. And starting at the top here, the Hawks led this game early on, which was a nice change, of course. You know, I guess recently during this win streak, the Hawks have been playing better in the first quarter, but on the sort of in the grand scheme, the Hawks been bad in the first quarter this year, and that was not the case here. They had a 7-4 lead early on as the Pistons opened up 2-for-8 from the floor. Pretty ugly basketball, honestly, both ends of the floor before the first timeout. But the first 6 minutes, it was tied, and not a lot of offense going on for either side in the early going. With that said, the Hawks had a 12-2 run in the first quarter that included a 7-point bench from Vince Carter. He had a 4-point play along that run, and from there, the Hawks led for most of this game, if not all of this game, from that point forward, as they sort of took control with that 12-2 run. They brought in Justin Anderson late in the first quarter with some minutes at the four, and Lloyd Pierce was pretty complimentary of what Anderson was able to do, and a nice matchup for him. We will talk about this a little bit more later as well, but the Hawks actually elected to start this game with a pairing of Alex Len and Dwayne Debman in the front court. That brought some surprise to people. I was surprised too, candidly. I thought going into this game without John Collins, who did not play in this contest after being listed as questionable with the ankle injury that he sustained on Friday. You know, no big surprise to me that Collins didn't play here, but I was surprised that the Hawks went with the two center lineup, only because the Hawks did not really have much in the way of options behind Len and Debman. In fact, Atlanta only had five what I would call big men, quote-unquote, available in this game. And only two of those guys are real centers, and the fact of Len and Debman. Outside of that, they had Alex Poitras, who they recalled before this game from Erie, and he has not played in a game since mid-November. And aside from that, they had Vince Carter and Justin Anderson, who are both, you know, small four-size players that can place the power four. Obviously, Carter is more of a four at this point in his career, but yeah, not a lot of size, not a lot of depth available for the Hawks in this spot. But they went with the centers. That was Pierce wanted to get out early and sort of present some size against a team in Detroit that has a really good reputation on the glass. That was the idea behind that. I will say, as Pierce said before the game, that the plan was to stagger those guys. So he definitely brought he took one of them out early in both halves, and then basically backed them up with each other. The one time that the Hawks did not play either Debman or Len in this game was a very brief period in the fourth quarter when Debman got in foul trouble, and they had to go back with Poitras actually at center for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Aside from that, though, it was sort of a standard rotation, aside from the fact that they started those two guys together. So, but that ended up working pretty well, I will say, to Pierce's credit in that spot. It did surprise me, but that was the reason why they were able to go ahead and do that. Back to the first quarter itself, though, the Hawks led by as many as 10 before settling in with a 7-point lead. In the first quarter, the Hawks shot the ball very well, 60% from the floor, 4-of-7 from three. Though they did have eight turnovers in the first quarter of this game, which is that was kind of the only reason why the Hawks weren't up by a lot at the end of the first quarter, was that they were turning the ball over quite a bit. After that, though, things calmed down a little bit. It was back and forth for most of the second quarter, but with the Hawks having that sort of lead they had built up from the first, there was a 12-0 run, though, later in the second quarter by the Hawks to go up by 17 points. From there, Pistons did respond and scored five straight, and then Kent Bazemore prevented what could have been a bigger run for Detroit with a chase-down block that was gorgeous, in my opinion, on Andre Drummond. Bazemore did a lot of little things in this game. That was one of those things that sort of prevented what could have been an interesting run from the Pistons. and that allowed the Hawks to take a 14-point lead into the halftime break. They shot the ball well in the first half, 51% from the floor, 42% from three. They were 12-17 from the line. Did have 12 turnovers, but only four in the second quarter. That's more manageable. Still had a pretty good offensive performance, and defensively they held the Pistons down in a big way, really the entire game, but especially in the first half. The Hawks dominated the glass as well. That was a game-long trend in the way that the first half was as well, but a 24% offensive rebound rate and a 91% defensive rebound rate in the first half, and really the entire game. It was all Hawks on the glass. They had a 29% offensive rebound rate, which is excellent, and then 89% defensive rebound rate. That's also excellent, and beating up on a team in Detroit that's one of the top 10 rebounding teams in the league. A pretty impressive effort performance from the Hawks in that one particular statistic. So the third quarter, as you might imagine, got a little bit dicier into the second half as the Hawks were up by a 14-point margin at the half. You think they might have been pretty comfortable, but they only won this game by 3 points, so the second half belonged to Detroit. It was a 7-0 run pretty quickly from Detroit in the third quarter to get within nine. The Hawks, though, did come out, and to their credit, threw a little bit of a haymaker after that with six straight points. It was a tip dunk from Alex Len, a run-out layup from Trae Young, and then another tip-in from Len, who was very active and very good in this game, to go back up by 15 points. That actually proved to be very, very important. Len was flying around in a lot of ways offensively, and really with his effort was huge in that spot. After that, the Hawks went to a little bit of a brief time with just Anderson at the three, which was a little bit surprising to me. They had gone to Daniel Hamilton in the first half, came back to Anderson, who played well in this game in the second half. Just something to note there. But after that, there was another run coming from the Pistons. There was an 8-2 run by them to get within nine. The Hawks did get back up by 13 points at one point, including a dunk by Alex Len at the end of the third quarter to actually put the Hawks up by 13 again. That was very helpful because the fourth quarter was a lot of Detroit, and we'll talk about that now. As I mentioned before, there was the brief foul. It was Dwayne Dedmon's fifth foul to start the fourth quarter, I should say. 13 seconds in, they went to Poitras for a few minutes because Alex Len had just played the entire third quarter. Len played all 12 minutes in the third quarter. He noted after the game, I talked to him a little bit. He said he was definitely feeling it at the end of the third, having played the whole quarter. And actually, it was a season high in minutes for Alex Len with 35 minutes in the game for Len. That was a season high for him. But to the rest of the game, we go here. There was a Langston Galloway explosion, which is something that was kind of interesting to see. He was by far the biggest reason why Detroit was able to get back in this game. In fact, he was +7 in the game. They lost by 3 points. Galloway had 18 points in 22 minutes, most of those coming in the second half, and a lot of those were coming in the fourth quarter. He kind of went off by himself with back-to-back threes to get within eight with about 9 minutes to go. And then the Hawks were up 10 with 6.5 minutes to go, but from there it was a lot of Galloway. He had a couple of back-to-back points to get back within five, actually, with 5:44 to go. At that point, the Hawks went back with Dedmon and Len together, and then there was a couple of misses here. We'll just sort of do a little bit of play-by-play here for the rest of the game. There was a missed three from Blake Griffin. In fact, the Pistons missed three open threes in the last 4 minutes, one by Blake and two by Reggie Jackson that were huge. I will say, though, they still had an 8-0 run to get back within two, and from there, it was back and forth. Galloway answered to cut the lead back to one. They went to Vince Carter, who had a nice turnaround fadeaway jump shot. I will say they went back to Vince one more time in the fourth. That didn't go quite as well. That was a big shot, though, by Carter to go up by three. From there, though, it was a lot of back and forth, I should say. There was a little bit of peril when the Hawks up by one had a turnover from Jeremy Lin. But Blake Griffin was then fouled. He missed both free throws, including sort of a nice little segue. Vince Carter had something of a contact issue in between shots. So Griffin missed the first, came back after a little bit of a delay, and missed the second. That proved to be huge because after that, Jeremy Lin flew in, got the rebound. He was fouled, made both free throws to go up by three. The Hawks allowed an easy dunk after that, though, but then Lin got fouled again, made both again. All four were just pure makes from Lin. It was definitely some clutch shooting there from Jeremy. And then Detroit, in their last-ditch effort, tried for a quick two and missed with 4 seconds to go. Bazemore got the rebound and was fouled, and that was sort of the Hawks were able to ice the game at that point in time. So free throw wise, you know, the four in a row by Lin were huge, especially on the heels of the two misses from Griffin, and again a couple of missed open shots from Reggie Jackson in the fourth quarter. But still, you know, the Hawks held on for dear life. I will say, you know, Vince Carter, I talked to him a little bit after the game and just talked about how the Hawks were trying to preach, you know, doing what you're capable of doing, kind of playing within yourself, not turning the ball over. And to their credit, the Hawks only had four turnovers the entire second half. Four turnovers for the half, and for this Hawks team, is definitely noteworthy in a lot of ways. They did not shoot the ball at all well in the second half. They had 31% from the floor and 1 of 11 from three. But if you don't turn the ball over, you can sort of handle your business there. And the Hawks were able to do that. They closed with a lineup of Jeremy Lin, Kevin Huerter, Kent Bazemore, Vince Carter, and Alex Len in crunch time. Dedmon had foul trouble, which kind of explains that, but they went with Lin over Young, which is probably, you know, for the best in a lot of ways. Young did play a lot, actually, played 31 minutes to Lin's only 17, but the way that the rotation staggered, it was Lin to close, and he made a couple of nice plays there. Did have the one bad turnover, but the free throw shooting was huge. Just having that veteran leadership on the floor is definitely helpful down the stretch, and he made a lot of plays when the Hawks needed him to. So, on the whole, again, a three-point victory. Nothing flashy about it. You know, the Hawks, it was sort of a team win in a lot of ways. The leading scorer was Vince Carter, which is always surprising to see at age 40-plus in 28 minutes. But Vince played well. And nothing crazy in terms of the offense. In fact, the offense was really not good and on the whole in this game. A 96.3 offensive rating, which is very bad. If you told me that was going to happen before the game started, I would have told you the Hawks lose by a big margin. But they didn't because the defense held up well. But offensively, they had 40% from the floor. 26% from three. They were 6 of 23 from there. And they get to the line 25 times, which is helpful. 20 of 25 from there. That helped to mitigate some of the bad shooting. But the turnovers were not overly perilous. They had 8 in the first quarter and only 16 for the rest of the game. Sorry, 16 for the entire game. Only eight the rest of the game. That was very nice to see after a sketchy opening period. Defensively, they held the Pistons to 41% shooting and 35% from three. That's pretty good. And then they forced 16 turnovers of their own. So a very solid performance across the board there. The Hawks had six guys in double figures, and they just kind of played well. You know, again, the fourth quarter, notwithstanding, the Hawks just did enough to win there barely in the fourth. But still, you know, the first three quarters, especially the first half, I thought the Hawks played legitimately well and were able to hold off that charge from the Pistons, who, again, are not playing very well right now. But still, a win is a win, and that's three in a row for Atlanta. So with that said, we'll get to the individual stuff here in a second. I do want to take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. If you have a Hawks fan friend in your life and want to have something a little bit extra for Christmas, you can definitely tell them about the podcast, share it with them. I know that's sort of a cheesy thing in a lot of ways, but please share the podcast with all of your Hawks fan, sports fan, Atlanta fan friends. Maybe they'll tune in and like it. If they don't, that's fine too, but give them a chance to check out the show as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. It's been huge growth that we've seen over the last several months. I really appreciate everybody that's already buying in, but please subscribe. Please tell your friends, all that fun stuff. Check out the entire network today. Before we get to everything else, though, after the short break, we'll come back and talk about the individual play in this game. Okay, we're back, and I'll start on the bench in this spot. The headliner of the game, I think, was Vince Carter, who had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a turnover. Vince was fantastic. He was plus 11, 28 minutes, and you know, a lot of guys that the Hawks just needed a lot from in this game, but Vince was on the very short list of players that was sort of playing above his head to some way. He played great. Effort-wise, made a lot of little plays. 7 rebounds for him is pretty impressive. You know, the shooting went cold a little bit in the second half after 14 points in the first half, but I thought Vince was very good. His defense, there was only one glaring spot when they really attacked him with Blake Griffin in the first half for a quick layup. But aside from that, Vince held up pretty well defensively, and he was a big part of this win. So shouts to Vince Carter, who also was, as usual, great with me after the game, talking about a lot of different things, and his insight's always appreciated. To the rest of the bench units, Jeremy Lin led the rest of the bench in scoring with 10 points and 4 assists, 3 rebounds for Lin. It was 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3, but did get to the line 6 times, made all 6. That was very clutch. I think Lin was just okay in this game, but just the way that he was able to close things out was very helpful. You can't really overstate how important that was. So Jeremy Lin, nice performance from him. Justin Anderson had his biggest game in a long time, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal for Anderson in 14 minutes. He was on the floor for some of that run from Detroit in the fourth quarter, but it was not really his fault. Defensively, it was a good matchup for him. Pierce talked about that as well. Just a good spot to use him against guys like Stanley Johnson and Blake Griffin defensively. Anderson's not a huge size guy in terms of height, but he's very strong, and I actually argued before this game started, I think I still believe this, that they probably should have started Anderson at the 4 and just had him guard Blake Griffin, just kind of be that guy. But obviously worked out well for the Hawks, and I'm often wrong, but one of those things where Anderson, just a good matchup for him. Pierce acknowledged that after the game. I thought he played well. Maybe we'll see him more in the future. DeAndre Bembry had a pretty quiet night, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in 18 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor, no threes, but was plus 14, was you know, active as he always is defensively, played pretty well despite the fact that he was not super involved offensively. I thought he was okay. And the other two guys that played a little bit of time here were Poitras with 3 minutes and Hamilton with 4 minutes. Neither guy was really used a lot. But again, Poitras had not played since November 17th. And I'm not sure he would have played, honestly, in this game if they had not had a Dedmon getting his fifth foul. I think that the plan going in was to bring Poitras in as sort of an insurance play, but I don't think he was going to play. He didn't appear until the fourth quarter, and usually that means that the plan is not to play you. But you know, I think we'll be interested to see how he looks moving forward as he gets more integrated. Pierce did note that the entire reason that he was going to Erie previously to this, when he spent some time in Erie, was to get practice time. Actually, Poitras did not play in the G League Showcase. Erie was actually playing two games in Las Vegas this week, and he did not play in either one of them. So the plan was to have him practice. He did that. And I think, again, he was not supposed to play in this game, I don't think, but it's one of those things where they had to throw him out there. He didn't kill him by any means, but we'll see how he looks moving forward. To the starting lineup in this game, four of the five guys were in double figures. The one guy that was not was Kevin Huerter. He had 8 points, two assists, a steal, and a block shot, and two rebounds in 34 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. It was just an okay Huerter game. He had a couple of big shots, just missed his only two threes. I thought Huerter was fine, though. It wasn't like he was bad by any means. Just kind of fairly anonymous, kind of not, you know, nothing standing out, which is not always a bad thing for a rookie player. Kent Bazemore, I thought, played very well, despite the fact that he didn't shoot the ball well. He was 4 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, got to the line four times, made all four. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 block shots, 2 steals, and an assist. The 3 blocks and 2 steals kind of tell the story for Bazemore, who was all over the place. He's playing very well right now. Obviously, he didn't shoot the ball well, but I think Kent's just playing really well the last couple of weeks, especially. Early on, I think he got off sort of a slow start this season, but as he comes alive here, you know, all the trade stuff is definitely out there, and it will continue to be out there until he is or is not traded, I should say, in the next couple of weeks. But Bazemore's just playing well, and he's a very, very solid player. Elsewhere, Trae Young, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, did have 6 turnovers, which is more than you want to see. Obviously, the 7 rebounds is pretty encouraging. 4 of 14 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, not very efficient in this spot. I thought Trae was pretty solid, except for the turnovers. You know, it's one of those things where you have to live with them to some degree, but it was a hot and cold night from Trae. The shooting kind of was what it was. He actually didn't take a 3 until, I think, late in the second quarter, and just didn't have a ton of rhythm there. There was one that I thought he made off the hand that just didn't fall, but not great in terms of that. I will say, though, you know, Young's passing is just what it is, but defensively, I thought he battled in this game. You know, it's all relative, and the fact that Trae's not a good defender by any means, but there were a couple of moments where I really noted him, you know, getting his hands in there, being physical, scrapping for position. Like, there was one play in the first half, and they were definitely isolating him for a post-up against Reggie Jackson. He really battled, knocked the ball away. You know, Young's giving good effort on the end of the floor for the most part, and, you know, when there's positives, I want to point him out to you, because he normally is not good defensively, obviously, but it's one of those games where it was a hot and cold game, but the rebounds were good. The activity was good. The turnovers were not, but an okay game for Young, even was not very efficient in the spot. Dwight Dedmon, 21 minutes. He would have played more, but he fouled out, and that was the only reason why he wasn't playing crunch time, honestly, I think, in this game. You know, Dedmon was 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, and a block shot. I thought Dedmon was good for the most part. You know, fouls kind of arrived a little bit late. I actually made the mistake of noting that I think through the entire first quarter, I think the Dedmon-Len combo only had one foul total. The end of the game with 11. That was a lot of fouls from those two guys, but they needed all the minutes that they got from Dedmon and Len. But Dedmon played well. Just the fouls were too much, but he shot the ball well. It was efficient. 4-6 from the floor, 1-2 from 3. And I thought Dedmon was giving great minutes at the 4 and the 5 when he was asked to do so. Finally, Alex Len, who, it was pretty funny. I actually set him up. I prompted him after the game about his game. I said, you know, good game from you, etc. And he immediately said that he thought he was terrible, which was kind of funny. I think he was referring to the fact that he was 7 of 18 from the floor. He was frustrated by the misses that he had around the rim. I will say, though, he had 8 offensive rebounds. That's pretty impressive. A lot of those were sort of the tip-ups that you might see, you know, the old Moses Malone rebounds where you were missing putbacks and get your own rebound. I think Len was not doing it intentionally, but one of those things where he was not efficient as a scorer, at least by the metrics that you want to look at here, but a lot of that was just like him playing volleyball with himself, getting putbacks. So he wasn't great around the rim necessarily, but 15 points, 17 rebounds to lead the team and lead the entire game. 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 block shots, and 4 turnovers for Len. The turnovers were too many, and that's kind of been a problem for him this year at times, but I thought Len was very good. His activity was great against Drummond and Griffin. He was the best big in this game. Honestly, he outplayed Drummond, in my opinion. And one of those things where the Hawks needed all that stuff. The Hawks needed everything they got from everybody in this game. It was definitely a total team win, playing without your best player, in my opinion, in John Collins. And, of course, Torian Prince is still out as well. Amari Spellman's still out, et cetera, et cetera. This is a pretty undermanned squad the Hawks used in this game. And to win this game on the road without Collins, they needed everything they got from Len and Dedmon and Bazemore and Carter, obviously, and Len and all those guys. Everybody played well, and they needed all of it. So, you know, shouts to Alex Len, who I thought had his best game in a long time. And again, a season-high in minutes for him in a spot where the Hawks absolutely needed it, and that was huge for them. So, with that said, I know it's a lot of ground to cover over a 148-minute game, but I was in the building. I had a lot to pass on here. I apologize for the lack of sound quality. I am in a hotel, so it's one of those things where I'm not on my normal microphone setup, but hopefully the message is across. to everyone on the podcast. But after this, the Hawks do not play again until Wednesday night at home. That'll be a fun game to cover. I'll be back in my old stomping grounds of State Farm Arena. Between now and then, though, no podcast. I'm not going to be recording on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day unless something crazy happens or a trade or something like that. But we'll see what happens there. You know, I guess the big thing to watch between now and Wednesday will be John Collins' injury. But the Hawks are not going to be off until Wednesday morning when they have a shoot-around practice. So nothing in the way of updates I expect coming, unless there's something of a trade, something crazy. But until then, it'll probably be all quiet on the Western front. I'm sure everybody will be enjoying their holiday. If you don't celebrate Christmas, that's fine too, of course. But happy holidays to everybody for listening to the podcast. Please forgive me for the lack of sound quality, but it was a fun trip to Detroit. I really enjoyed it, and we'll be back again from State Farm Arena on Wednesday night. So we'll see you guys then.